All right, we'll go ahead and pick up where we left off in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, we're going to see a section here, kind of the family order. And it's very interesting. We see at the very beginning, children, obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. So in the Lord has the idea of obeying your parents as they teach you godly things or as they live godly. But there are times when a child is not to obey their parents. When is that? When it's not in the Lord. So in God's eyes, if a child goes against what their parents are saying when it's not moral or ethical or right, they're okay. The key phrase is in the Lord, right? Now what Paul does here is he reinforces this truth with an Old Testament law scripture, right? In the Ten Commandments. Now Paul is very well aware that the law is no longer in effect. He teaches that. The law is done, it's complete. It was a schoolmaster bringing the Jews to Christ, and now it's over. But what he's doing here is he's using this Old Testament verse to show that for a very, very long time, this has been a good principle for the Lord. Now in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy, when this is given in the law, in the Ten Commandments, it was a promise to the nation of Israel that they may live long in the area that God had established for them, for the nation of Israel. It's not saying that a Gentile born-again believer is going to live long if they obey their parents. That's not true. It's just reaffirming that this is a good thing to do. It's so good it went back to the law and it was in the Ten Commandments. Because you got to remember, in the law, God did promise the Jews, the nation of Israel, that they would live long if they served God. Correct? They were promised that. So to show that promise, a child is looking up to their father. In Deuteronomy it says that the parents were to teach their kids about God 4 times a day. A Jew, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, was supposed to talk about God 4 times a day. Pretty cool, isn't it? That's how important it was. So honor here, it's very interesting what this word actually means. In the Hebrew, so if I was to go back to where he's quoting, in the Hebrew it means to be very weighty, very heavy. Has the idea of something of profit, like money, very valuable. So something weighty, very profitable, financial gain is kind of the root word of the word honor here. What's interesting is I always thought they had to do something to do with respect. Respect isn't even there. It's not there in the Hebrew, it's not there in the Greek. You'll see in the Greek it has revere, which is not respect. Revere means to be in awe of, to be in fear. So this honor here has nothing to do with respecting their parents. Interesting, isn't it? So in the Old Testament, I'm going to go to the New Testament here in a second, but in the Old Testament, if a Jewish child was looking at their parents with a weighted value of their parents, as their parents are walking with God and doing godly things, the principle is everyone's in harmony. Right? Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's doing that which God wants them to do. Everyone's in unison. Everyone's unified. As a child looks to his parents who are godly, who are doing godly things under the law, there's some weighted value to that. I'm going to, as a child, honor them and look up to them and listen to that and go, okay, here is the lifestyle. Here's what God requires of us. Let's do it. It's the first commandment with promise, which means they're going to have this long, bountiful life, which is true for the nation of Israel, not true for us, not true for a Gentile who's born again in the church age. Okay? That's not true. He's just reinforcing how important this principle, this truth is. Okay? He goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now, a father has to give a child, right, his children, a parent worth obeying in the Lord. Correct? A father is to give their child a father worth obeying. Because if not, it's my own dumb fault. It's my own fault that my child doesn't want to obey. I'm not giving them a father that is desirable to obey. So if I'm doing the things as a father, which is well-pleasing to the Lord, I have five previous chapters in Ephesians, right? I have five previous chapters on how an adult is supposed to live, how to focus, what to look at, what to be thankful for as a believer in Christ. And as my children see how we're thankful, what the blessings we have in the Lord are, what's valuable, what's significant in God's eyes, a child sees how their parents are living and goes, it's worth living for. This God is worth living for because my dad is kind, he's gentle, he's wants to teach me the things that are right in a very humble, kind way, not in a very anger-provoking, browbeating way, very critical, perfectionist. My dad's the example. So I'm giving, as a father, a God worth following, a father worth following, and everything's right in line. Boom, 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 boom. Isn't it amazing how simple this can be? The instructions are simple. A father should not provoke them to anger. You know, pick and prod all their faults instead of encourage like a coach. Right, to build them up. To not look at all their faults and just put down and criticize. It kind of bums me out with some of the men that are in the military, and they have children, and they raise their five-year-old kid as if he's an adult in the military. I have to tell them, listen, as a veteran myself, your five-year-old child is not an adult who has volunteered for the military. They're a five-year-old child. They know nothing. So stop treating them like an adult. They're not one. They're not one yet. They're very hard and very, you know, strict with them. And that's how you are as an adult. I don't want little strict people as a child. They'll hate Jesus. They'll hate church. They'll hate God. And it's my own fault because I have always provoked them to anger. Never good enough. Always having to do better and better and better. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Fathers, here's a Bible command, right? There are over 140 commands in the New Testament. Here's one of them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but do what instead? Do what instead? Bring them up in the discipline. Discipline isn't crude and harsh. Discipline is a structure. It's a system, right? You can still be kind and gentle and humble and meek and lowly of mind and lowly of heart. While we're disciplining, discipline is a structure, it's a system, it's something that, it's like a habit, right? I'm showing them godly habits, godly instruction, godly discipline. Here's what we do, here's why we do it. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it nice to talk about the Bible to children and say, look how great this is, look how amazing God is, look how loving He is, look how kind He is. This is why we do what we do, because He's worth it. Not we have to because. We have to because. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, we're going to teach them. They don't know. What they know about God is how I'm behaving. From ages 0 to 10, a child's environment, their home surroundings, they're taking in about themselves. Right? They can't help it. So their brain's wired. Their brain is wired. This is about me. So if the adult is unloving or unkind, the child's going to think, I'm unlovely. right? I'm not good enough. A parent might not even say, I hate you, I don't like you, you're not good enough. A parent might not have to ever even say that, but how the parent's acting, all a child knows in their cerebral cortex, and all the brains, all the neurons firing is, this is me. This is how I am. And they're going to link that emotion, that feeling, that identity with God. Well, if God's like that, then I don't want anything to do with God. See how important the parent's role is in discipline and nurture, instructing them in the Lord? It can be a very kind and very beautiful thing if we want it to. It's about our heart set, right? It's about my heart being fixed in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying don't discipline or punish a child. I'm not saying don't do that. But when I do it in love, it's way different. I'm not saying don't spank, don't be physical. I'm saying how is the heart done when you're doing it? Does that make sense? Do you see the difference? And how is the follow-up afterwards? All right, it's like the Lord, he doesn't allow what I've done in the past. So if I've messed up and hurt the Lord in the past, I ask for forgiveness. He never holds that over my head again. He's forgiven. Same with an adult. My child sins against me, or sins against us, and we discipline them, we punish them. They ask for forgiveness, we move on. I don't say, well, remember what you did last week? No, they ask for forgiveness, we're moving on now, we're going forward. Why? That's how God is. That's how God is. All right, servants, verse 5, obey those who are your masters according to the flesh. It's estimated about this time that between 50 and 60% of the citizens at Ephesus at this time, which is a huge region, like a county, if you will, are slaves. Okay? About half the population, if not a little more than half, are slaves right now. So what Paul's going to do is he's going to command and give a biblical instruction to how slaves are supposed to behave to their masters, and vice versa. Servants, first thing is obey those who are your masters according to the flesh. How? With fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ. That is numero uno. Even though I am a slave, it's our culture, we might not like it, it is what it is, I am to still serve as I am serving Christ. My master might hate me, he might not like me, he might abuse me. I'm not serving him when I work, I'm serving the Lord. Does that make sense? A lot of people want to use this as like a 21st century for your 21st century boss. You want a slave to your boss. Yeah, you work, you can quit anytime you want. Now, as a principal, should you? Yes. It should be 10 times easier to use this principle as an employee than a slave. A slave has no rights. Nowadays, employees have more rights than the employer. Yeah, they do. It's different, right? So as a slave, here's what they were told to do. Serve your master with fear and trembling, with sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Verse 6, not serving when eyes are on you, but as pleasing men, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So have you ever heard of integrity? Integrity is doing right when those aren't around or something like that. I have disliked that term for so long, I forgot even how it goes. But it's like the Lord's saying here, if I was to have integrity, I'm doing right, but people are watching or not. Why? Because I'm doing it to the Lord, not to them. I'm doing it okay this way before I even think about this way. I'm in tune with God this way first before I act out anything this way. Why? Even as a slave, my master is a child of God. That's a scary thing if I'm going to mistreat one of God's children. It's like y'all here, everybody here. If someone is coming to me for advice or counseling or a question, the first thing I'm thinking of is, Lord, they're your child. Allow me to respond in love and kindness to your child. Can you imagine making God mad about how you're treating his kids? I imagine that. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to go there. So So as you were God's children, I'm treating you as if you're God's children. Not one of mine. One of God's. It's a fearful thing. So as you do it, do the will of God from the heart, verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing any man does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is enslaved or free. If you notice in these handful of verses, everything is fixed and focused on doing it as unto the Lord. Doing it as unto the Lord. They are separating their circumstance for who they are and who they're really serving. Their circumstance is not dictating their behavior. I'm a slave, therefore I'm entitled to do this. No, you're wrong. You can't do that. Because although your circumstance says you're a slave, you are a born-again child of God. Act like it. But this person treats me, doesn't matter. Act like it. They don't like me, act like it. They don't give me the wage I deserve. Act like it. They don't give me my time off. Act like it. But they don't. Act like it. It's amazing how many people that go out in the workforce have degrees, went to school, they have this proud, arrogant mindset on, you should just be thankful I'm even showing up to work an hour before I should be here. Or an hour after I should be here. Hey, you show up late every day, but I'm here, aren't I? Yeah, but you're late. But I'm here, aren't I? Yeah. What are we coming to? But as a believer in Christ, we have instructions. This is to a slave to a slave owner. Not employee to employer. That should be way easy. If someone's paying me to do a job that I said yes to, then that should be easy to say, you got it. I'm showing up before I should and leaving after I should. Why? Because I'm doing it as in the Lord. That's why. When I do something for the Lord, I'm not, we in the military call, maxing the minimum. You can tell a volunteer's heart by when they show up and when they leave. And what's their attitude while they're here. Right? You can tell. Real quick. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay, so you're not doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing it because you have to begrudgingly be here. We don't want volunteers like that, do we? No, and thank God we don't have any here, so praise the Lord. Let's keep it that way. We're doing good so far. All right, moving on down here. Verse 9, and masters, do the same things for them. So all the things from verses 5 till verses 8, you do those same things to your servants. Why? Knowing this, that you have a master in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. There is no favoritism. So just because you're a born-again believer, and you just happen to be privileged to be a slave owner, and you have brethren who are slaves, all right, doesn't mean that God favors one over the other. In God's eyes, you are both equal. Can you imagine that? Stop for a second and absorb that culture. A slave owner equal with the slave? God shows no partiality between us? Whoa. He just got done previously saying that the mystery of Jew and Gentile being one in Christ. Now that one means on the same level, on the same playing field. A Jew has always been above the Gentile. You guys know that, right? Yeah, they've always been above. It was such the case that Jesus said in the Old Testament, because Christ is alive in the Old Testament, he said that what I am bringing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he's alive, don't take this message to the Gentiles. Even Jesus didn't allow his people, the Jews, to take the message of the Messiah coming to the Gentiles. Why? Because under the law, it was separated. Christ was alive under the law. He was a law-abiding Jew. He was the best law-abiding Jew this world's ever seen under the law. He said, don't go to Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles with my message. There will be a time when you take the message to them, just not right now. So can you imagine for a slave owner and a slave to be one in Christ? That'd be kind of heavy duty, wouldn't it? God shows no partiality between you two. You own them, you have a lot of money, you're doing well for yourself, you're a slave, but in God's eyes, you're a child, and you're a child, and there's no favoritism. Thank God, right? Thank God. That's awesome. In doing that, you have a master in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Why do we think order is so important in the Bible? Why do we think order is so important in God's eyes? Christ, the church, husband, wives, children, fathers, servants, masters.
Because of God, we separate
us. Right. They're all the church. They're all the church. Where I'm at as a father doesn't change my behavior. Where I'm at as a child doesn't change my behavior. Where I'm at as a slave doesn't change my behavior. Where I'm at as a slave owner doesn't change. Everyone looks exactly the same. That's how it should be. Everyone's kind, everyone's gentle, everyone's meek, everyone's humble, everyone's wanting to serve the Lord, everyone has a great heart, everyone's evangelizing, everyone is doing what they're supposed to do. We have 5 previous chapters on what was told us to do. What to be thankful for, what to look at, what our identity is in, what God has done for us. We have all these things. The circumstance where you're at doesn't change. Isn't it amazing? We see young believers in Christ, when things are going well, according to what they perceive it to be, what well is, when something, a circumstance comes their way, their behavior changes. They get some bad news, right? Now I'm discouraged. Now I'm depressed. What's changed? You're still a child of God. Everything in the Bible is still for you. What changed was their heart. Their heart, which is here, not here, here. Your heart is what you focus on, right? Are we doing okay? We're doing good? If I am focused on the right things all the time, doesn't matter what circumstance comes my way, doesn't matter what position I am in, I never change. Circumstances come and go, but I am always staying consistent. When I get bad news, or I get a phone call, or I get these results back, or I'm going here, I'm going there, and there's some kind of fear there, it's because my heart is seeking after fear, and my heart will always find what I'm looking for. There's a reason to be afraid. I'll find a reason to be afraid. There's a reason not to be afraid. I'll find a reason to not be afraid. My heart will find what I'm focused on, where it goes. Why should it surprise me when I go, I don't know why I'm anxious. Where's your heart been? On this, 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 this? Well, duh. Well, I mean, what are you expecting? As unto the Lord. As to the Lord. As to the Lord. My rank, my position, my circumstance never changes where my heart focus is. So that I will always act the same. I will always be joyful, always be kind, always be gentle, and I will always be well pleasing to the Lord because He's worth it. That's why. Always. What's it going to take here in chapter 6? It's going to take a father, first of all, take a father to instruct and discipline, which is a system, their children in the Lord, or a grandfather, grandmother, aunt, uncle. Now I'm just inferring this. I'm just putting my own Bible in there now. Aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, sister, brother, friend, to teach a child how to grow in the Lord with kindness, with humbleness, with love, with generosity, with sincerity, So I can be an example of, this is what God looks like. Because you're all walking, talking little gods as far as how people perceive you. You're making a judgment call on God based on your behavior, which isn't really necessarily good on their part. But also, what am I saying? The word was spoken, not just lived out. You have to instruct, teach, and encourage. Bring these kids up in the way of the Lord. There's a bunch over there that need our help. And we're looking forward to that. It's to take servants to obey their masters, to do things as unto the Lord, serving all the time. It's going to take servants to be sincere from their heart. It's going to take servants to always do that which is good. Masters, it's going to take them to do the same thing as the servants and not be threatening to them. And it's to take everyone to always do that which is right, no matter what order we're in position, or what circumstance I'm in life. That's what we call unity. We're all unified in love. And the only way to be unified in love is when I love Him. And I focus on loving Him. I'll love my children. I'll love those that are under me. I'll love those that I work under. And focus on Christ. That's the central theme of this section. No matter what position, no matter what circumstance, I am doing everything as under the Lord. That's it. Case closed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We're thankful for Ephesians chapter 6 with this section on children and parents, Lord, and masters and servants. And the focal point is where is our heart? Where is our heart? If it's focused on pleasing you, then our lives will reflect that. I won't be worried about what position I'm in, what rank I'm in, where I'm at in the body, where I'm at in my family, where I'm at as a slave or if I'm free. It won't matter because all I'm focused on is you, Lord, and loving you and serving you and being used by you to help others and just living a joyful, Christ-honoring life. Would allow all of us, myself included, to keep this central focus on always remembering who I am in Christ first. Not where I'm at in position, not what circumstance I'm going through, but my true identity. And the more I learn about who I am in Christ, the more my behavior reflects my true identity. And we'll do things that are in unification and well-pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you will bless our communion service and our potluck afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll have our men come forward real quick.